With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We go straight out to the HR&P guest line, joined by our dear friend, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, who is red hot. Can't touch him. He's so hot. Lee, before we get into your games here, which I know you're going to continue this momentum, what were your thoughts on this FBI raid of Damon Jones, Go Cougs, Chauncey Billups, and Terry Rozier?
Well, number one, it's very tough to beat the feds, and it's unfortunate that we see this. These are guys that have made over $100 million in Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier. So, you know, you can't give people information like that. They know that. They have the leagues have people talk to these players and coaches time and time again. And, you know, it's – I mean, this is horrible. I mean, this is a really bad look. I mean, now we're hearing that Terry Rozier, the amount was $300,000. That they profited, and they went back and were counting up the money later that night after the game. If that's true, he'll never play in the NBA again, or he's going to have trouble getting a job. And then Chauncey Billups, I mean, getting involved possibly with a mob, just this is horrific. So horrible day for gambling. I mean, we want to have fun with it, and you know, it, the positives are people can go to the game and bet $10, $20, $50, $100 and root for their team and have some fun with it and hopefully win a little bit. Or if they lose, don't lose a whole lot. But to hear this is just a gut punch.
Yeah, it is. But we're doing it on the up and up, and you're winning a lot, Lee. So let's jump right into the college action.
Right.
Texas Longhorns, that offense looking – it's looking. Taking on Mississippi State, Longhorns are giving up 7. What do you think of this traditional classic SEC matchup?
Well, I don't think all of a sudden you just fix the offense. It just doesn't happen. Being a former quarterback, I'm watching Arch Manning, and I just can't believe they haven't replaced him and tried something else. He's not improving. Mississippi State's playing hard. Mississippi State's playing right there with everyone. Last year, Texas was a 37-point favorite. So Mississippi State just shows you how much they've improved and how much Mississippi State has gotten better, and Texas has regressed here. They're not even in the top 100 in expected yards per play and success rate. I think Texas might escape again 24-20, but I'm taking Mississippi State in a touchdown here.
Lee, big win last week for Arizona State. Get their quarterback back, and this week they take on the Houston Cougars. How do you like this one this weekend?
Yeah, Sam Levitt wasn't at his best against Texas Tech, but he did play clean. He avoided mistakes, which is very important in football. Usually if you commit the least amount of turnovers, you're going to win a lot of games. Houston's defense does a really good job of getting off the field, giving their offense some easy chances to score. The Cougars' ability to pass will determine if we're going to see an upset. Connor Wegman has always been considered good enough to get the job done. Here it is. The right team is favored. The Houston Cougars straight up 28-24.
I knew I liked you, Lee. I knew I liked you a whole lot. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, joining us on the HR&P guest line. Let's switch over to the pro game. Aaron Rodgers facing his former team. Steelers a home dog. Packers giving three. How do you see this one, Lee?
I love when he gets up there and says that, you know, there's nothing extra special this game. Oh, come on. He played there for 18 years. I think Mike Tomlin is a tough, tough out as a home dog or a small favorite the last 3 years. In fact, he's 10-4 against the spread. Other than Micah Parsons, no one on the defense is playing especially well. They're cornerbacks, probably bottom five, bottom six in the NFL. Sometimes even when they're in coverage and they're in the right spot, they can't make plays to deflect the ball or get an interception. Their receivers, they do not have that number one receiver. If you got a lot of twos, threes, and fours, can't get separation, not going to be good enough here. Another wrong team favorite, Pittsburgh. Next shot greeting here, 27-23.
Lee, we got maybe the best team in the AFC, the Colts, versus maybe the worst team in the NFL matching up this weekend with the Titans. Colts are favored by 14 points. I feel like it could be more than that.
Yeah, you would think that this is going to be an absolute blowout here. But remember this, when you face a team for the second time and you lose by a lot the first time, generally we see closer games. Indy has improved their offense from 22 points per game last year to 33 points per game this year. I doubt they're able to keep it at that high a level here. I like the fact that Tennessee's offense, they've simplified some things here. Looked great on the first two drives of the game last week, just couldn't keep it up. Tennessee did miss two field goals in the first game this year. I think Indianapolis is going to make some trades. They've got some holds on defense, and I think that's we're going to try to shore them up in the next couple weeks before the deadline here. I think Indy wins 31-21, but you don't want to lay this kind of wood here in the NFL. Laying more than 7.5 is a dicey proposition. I'll take Tennessee and the points and hold my nose.
Isn't that a new Taylor Swift song? Right? And she sings a song about that?
That's it.
Yeah, that's what Lee Sterling's referencing. He's big in the music game. He really is. His daughter's a singer. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, joining us on the HR&P guest line. Let's get to the local 11. The Texans haven't been playing very well. 2-4. Their offense looks bad. Niners have been stacking up wins, but are depleted with injuries. Texans at home giving 1.5. Do the Texans get back on the right track?
I mean, it was painful to watch that offensive line on Monday night. It just amazes me. I see some of these general managers, and how can they not think, like, I'm a Dolphins fan. Their offensive line is bottom two, bottom three. Houston is bottom four, bottom five in the league. I just feel bad for C.J. Stroud. I mean, just has no time. How he was only sacked three times, should have been 7 or 8 at least. So, I mean, he's locking in a little bit on Nico, and Nico, we don't know his status with a concussion at best game time decision. So he's going to have to find some other receivers, and he doesn't have much time, which makes it even tougher. George Kittle came back last week for San Francisco. He could play a bigger role in this game here. At 2-4, how much of a home field advantage does this team really have? Unless the defense gets 3 or 4 turnovers, it's going to be a tough, tough way to win this game here. I think the right team is favored. Hate to say it. San Francisco, 27-20.
Lee, what's the game of the week, and where can we find it?
Yep, game of the week this week is going to be a really good one. It is the Denver Broncos and the Dallas Cowboys. Anyone wants to get that game, be one of the first five callers. Call 800-400-9741. First five callers, we'll give them Denver and Dallas on me. And what kind of role have we been on in the NFL? We've gone 5-0, 5-0, 5-0, 4-1, and 4-1. We're on a 23-2 run in the last 5 weeks in the NFL. That's 92%. I don't think there's anyone else in the country documented even close to that record. You want to try us out? If you're not already a client, now is the time. You can hop on board. It's called Lee's NFL Sunday Golden Ticket. 5 games, 4 straight weeks for a month of games, 5 weeks texted to you by Friday. You're ready to go. You don't have to call me back Saturday or Sunday. Just $197. One place, ParamountSports.com.
What a guy. Lee Sterling, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, guys. See you. Be safe.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com, been killing the game. Been doing some great things lately. So you're going to be telling him.
I wrote them all down.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to Sportsbook this weekend. So,
how many times are you going to say that? It's flexing left and right. I'm going to the Sportsbook. I mean, you know where I'm going to be this weekend? I'm going to be at the Sportsbook. I love the Sportsbook. No, I can't. I can't come with you.
Sorry, you got a job.
You know what? You know what made me laugh there during that segment? You're always surprised whenever Lee stops talking.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're always like hustling.
I can never tell when he's going to stop.
On microphone. It feels like you're caught off guard every time.
Well,
he
I'm not sure. Like,
sentence.
I'm waiting for a wrong team favor. Like, it's always easy to tell when he drops that one.
Junkie on the text line, like Sterling, claiming he was a quarterback, made me chuckle. He was. Lee Sterling was a college quarterback, junkie. Don't you know that? Famous college football quarterback. 713-780-3776. From Lee's picks to our picks. You go from pros to jabronis. The fix is next. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Underdog's the best, though. Football season's in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all season long. You're in Texas, you can play in Texas. Texas is the best place to play, to make picks, to win money all season long on Underdog. And it's so easy, too. All you have to do is download the app, enter promo code KILLERB, and you're going to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. So what are you waiting for? You're going to pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and more. You can pick teams now on Underdog, too. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. You know what tonight is? Tonight's Thursday. It's Thursday Night Football. It's Thursday Night Football on Prime. Justin Jefferson, 81.5 receiving yards. You like the higher? You like the lower there? Justin Herbert, he put up some numbers last week because the game script was nuts, but 252.5 passing yards. You like the higher, the lower there? Ladd McConkey, 57.5 receiving yards. You like the higher, or is he going to be bad McConkey and be lower than 57.5 receiving yards? Also, Underdog, a little 40% profit boost tonight. So what are you waiting for? Download the Underdog app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You want to go watch the Houston Cougars, Mississippi State Bulldogs play basketball on Sunday? You want to watch Texas A&M, power dribble, fighting Texas Aggies, Buckyball take on Arizona State? One of the Hurley boys? Well, make sure you listen to us. We're going to give away a pair of tickets a little bit later. I'm not going to tell you when. Sometimes we just drop it on you. Sometimes we make you wait. Sometimes we tease you. But we'll give it away some tickets later to the preview college basketball exhibition in Fort Bend. A&M, Arizona State, first leg of the doubleheader. Houston, Mississippi State, the second leg of the doubleheader. So, the fix. We give you our bets for the weekend. And let me tell you, it is a piling steam of mediocrity at best.
Yes.
I've been on the, what's the opposite of a heater?
Cold streak?
A cold streak. I've been on a cold streak. I am two for my. I'm 2-7 in the last 3 weeks. I'm 3-9 in the last 4 weeks after I was talking all that ish. I started 5-1, was talking some ish, and I got dealt.
Yeah.
I got dealt a bad hand. I feel like you guys are fixing the game.
Nope.
Brian was 2-1 last week. He improves to 8-10. I fell to 8-10, and then Joe's been on the heater. He's been hanging out with Chauncey. He's 7-2. Over the last 3 weeks, Joe has been doing good. And what a day to be betting on games in the NFL. So we're going to bet on games in the NFL. Because I'm a delight, because I'm a gentleman, because I'm a scholar, We always go reverse order of standing with who has the first pick here because it's a betting game, but also we do it within the construct of a draft. Brian and I are both 8-10, but age before beauty. Brian, you can go first.
All right, so I'm not betting NFL here. I'm betting college. I saw this stat. Sean actually passed along to me because I don't know if you know this, Jeremy, but Joe, Sean, and I are going to the casino this weekend. To the sports book. So SEC teams are 2-6 on the back end of back-to-back conference road games this year and are 0-3 or last year and 0-3 this year. So that's a 2-9 stretch over the last 2 years in that scenario. I'm going to be playing those games this weekend. That includes OU, 5.5-point favorite, hosting Missouri. Give me the Ole Miss, that is. Give me the Sooners to cover the 5.5.
So who did you just pick?
OU. Sooners. Minus 5.5.
You picked the Sooners minus 5.5 to beat Ole Miss?
Yes.
Okay. You don't think too highly of old Kiffin, huh?
No, it's more about the Sooners pass rush and the home game, the back-to-back road game thing.
All right, good pick. Good pick. I like where you're at. I'm going to steal the Bears. I'm going to take the Bears right now. I don't know how Lamar Jackson is. I don't know how he's doing.
I saw
a TikTok of him going to a food truck and picking up some food while other things might have been going on in his off the football field life. I don't know. I'm not one to judge. Look, maybe he doesn't play. I think he will play, but maybe he doesn't play. Will he be limited? Will he be able to run as much as he normally does? Will he want to run coming off a hamstring injury? It's also their first of what's going to be two games over a 5-day span because they play next Thursday. The Bears are on fire. The Bears are on one. Look, and the Ravens' defense is bad. I know Lamar's coming back, but they're still hurt. Give me the Bears. Give me 6.5. The Bears going to continue to ride this momentum. Let's go.
That sucks because, like, you're so bad at betting on games right now. Now I feel like I know, like, how my weekend's going to go because of you.
You're going to let a football game ruin your weekend?
Those ones do, to be honest with you.
Sheesh.
They can. I've been on a high lately. I'm going to go back to the well with where I ended last week. The Browns are terrible, so give me the Patriots minus 7.5. I think they're going to roll Cleveland. I know defense is good.
Don't love that half.
Don't care. I think they win by 10.
Okay. All right. What's your second one here, Joseph?
Oh, that's right. I get to go again.
Constructs of a draft.
I forgot.
Snake draft at it.
Let's go. Give me the over 50.5 in the Cowboys-Broncos game.
Interesting.
I'm going to go on the over on that one.
You're going over 50.5 on that one?
Yeah, I'm going over 50.5.
Branham Metrics has that game at 51 points.
Okay.
So it'd be over by half. Like, that's going to be an interesting game because Denver likes to, you know, slow it down, use some clock. They have a good defense. Dallas does not, but they have a very good offense. That's a big number.
It is a big number. But I think Dallas can score and Denver showed they can score as well. 33 points in one quarter.
Yeah. Okay. I hope you lose that game.
Thanks.
I don't like that bet. All right, Brian, you're next.
No, I believe you are.
You're next.
All right,
Constructs Brian. Constructs of a draft.
You're next. I'm going to take Tampa Bay on the road minus 4. I usually don't. Actually, it's moved up to 4.5. That's my bad for doing my prep ahead of time. So give me Tampa Bay minus 4.5. I got robbed out of a half a point. Tampa Bay minus 4.5. They're in the Superdome. They're against New Orleans. I know they're kind of depleted and hurt. It doesn't matter. The Saints are a terrible football team. Baker, Buccaneers, roll. They cover the number on the road in New Orleans.
All right. My first bet was OU to win a game. I'm now betting against the Texas Longhorns because, again, that trend of teams playing back-to-back conference road games in the SEC not going well. And I will back one of Lee's picks as well. Give me Mississippi State plus 7.5. I think Texas wins, but it's like a field goal. I think I think the Bulldogs keep it within the number.
Okay, what's your next one?
Yeah, Brian, construct of a draft.
I'm just pausing for a reaction.
I like it.
At least I didn't say it was someone else's pick.
I can't believe you're picking against your school.
Why did you say O?
Not my school. I didn't go there.
O was an admission of guilt.
That's a scapegoat answer,
O
Brian.
Is an admission of guilt.
So, I mean, not only did I bet against Tech, well, I still said they're going to win. I just don't think they're going to cover. But I also bet for OU. So, yeah, it's a bit of an up and down week for me. Last one, I'm going to go away from the SEC thing. I'm going to take the under in Texans 49ers. 41.5 is the total. I like both defenses. I don't know what the 49ers are going to throw out at quarterback. They've obviously been banged up a wide receiver. We know what the Texans offense does. I'll take under 41.5 in that game.
It's a low number. I like the bet. I like the pick, though.
Brandometrics has that one at 44.
Okay.
44. Niners beating the Texans 24-20, according to Brandometrics. A final game that I will play. I'm gonna piggyback off of Lee, too, but I wrote it down way earlier. I have the receipts to prove that. This number got moved, too. Unbelievable. I am so triggered by half a point in both of these games. This is ridiculous. You should be able to lock in a number. Give me the Steelers plus 2.5. It was 3 this morning. Actually, you know what? I don't know if I want to play this because of that half point. Let me pivot. I'm going to pivot to the Bengals. Give me the Bengals minus 6.5 against the Jets. That number didn't move from what I had it locked in at. So Cincinnati, the Jets have a quarterback that – they don't even know who's playing a quarterback. Woody Johnson hates them both. Joe Flacco's the man. They roll. Bengals at home. They get back to 500. Bengals. Yay.
The tight end got hurt today, too.
I don't care.
Mason Taylor.
For the Jets.
Yeah, for the Jets. That's good for you.
That is good for me.
That's good for you. Yeah. Last one here for me, then. I will go – Give me Vandy minus 2.5 against Mizzou. Vandy to the college football playoff. Let's go. I love it.
It might happen.
Give me some Diego Pavia in the playoff. We need it.
It should be a good game.
I think it might be the best game this weekend.
No, Houston, Arizona State.
That also plays into the back-to-back road game theory, Joe, so I like where you're at.
All right.
There's only three top 25 matchups this week.
And there should only be two because LSU should not be ranked.
They shouldn't be ranked.
They should not be ranked at all. I can't believe they are.
That's going to be a good game, though.
I was tempted by the Louisville-Boston College game, but 25
That number's huge,
it's
though.
It's a huge number, but...
You were going to bet on Bill O'Brien?
Against Bill O'Brien.
Oh, you were going to lay the points.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's such a big number, I just couldn't do it.
That's crazy.
Do you see his...
I'm going to do it next week.
Do you see his post-game presser from last week?
No.
It was such a snapshot from 2018. I'll find it at some point if we want to laugh. But
I actually did see it. It was like, you know, I don't know what's going wrong. If I did, I'd be able to fix it. I'm really trying hard. We got to get me better. I got to be better. Yeah, I saw it. He was sitting down, too. I don't like it when... Never mind.
When they sit down?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I don't like when NFL coaches sit down.
Uncle Willie's not an NFL coach.
I know.
Next week I'm taking Notre Dame on the road, no matter what the number is against Boston College.
Blindly. You're going to blind bet it? You're going to live straddle that game right now?
Lock it in for next week.
Junkie on the text line, is Lee Sterling really Patrick Creighton? No. No, they're not connected. I don't know why he would make that connection.
One's much quieter.
What is like the number one thing in common between Lee Sterling and PC?
Accent?
I don't think it's even. Like, I don't think that Lee has a New York accent.
I think on the phone it can come across.
I don't think Lee comes off as having a New York accent, though.
I've never noticed that. I'm having a tough time thinking of any sort of comparison.
Yeah, but like depending on the day, Patrick might not have one. Love you, Patrick. Love you, PC.
What did you say?
He doesn't always have his New York accent.
Why?
I don't know. It just shows up sometimes.
I've never noticed that.
When he yells more,
it's when it shows up.
Yeah.
That happens, though. But that's not uncommon.
That's very common.
Like, for any accent.
Yeah.
Like, people, if they're Cajun or whatever, like, you don't even catch it until they start, like, getting fired up and excitable, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, I love PC. But, yeah, sometimes when it gets a little louder, just, you know, the New Yorker comes out, you know?
Okay. All right. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, 713-780-3776. We come back. Adam Ronis from the Fantasy Life on SiriusXM. He's going to get you straight. For your betting and fantasy coming up in your football weekend. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN, 97.5 ESPN, 92.5. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you already know where to go. Monument Chevrolet. Dealing with dealerships is no fun. That's not true at Monument Chevrolet, though. They're going to ease that burden. They're going to alleviate that stress because they're transparent with you. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. You're going to love everything about Monument Chevrolet. It's why they've been in the business for over 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new pre-owned vehicles. And you know what these families do? They keep coming back. Why do they keep coming back? Because they love the experience that Monument Chevrolet provides that's unlike any other dealership. Family feel there. They have a friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to that outstanding culture. And you have to have a strong culture and a strong foundation to be in the business for 50 years. Check this out. Their vehicle of the week. It's the Chevy Trax. Modern, sporty style, spacious interior, including ample cargo space. Also, ample standard tech features. all for a low price. The Trax is an unbeatable deal. Come check it out at Monument Chevrolet. Get a fair deal, a transparent deal, a no-hassle deal without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. Not going to upcharge you. They're not going to give you every warranty under the sun that you don't need. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com. That's monumentchevrolet.com. Or just go visit them in person. Stop by, say hello. 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We're going to go straight out to the HR&P guest line, being joined by Adam Ronis. Adam Ronis, Fantasy and Betting on Fantasy Life, Sirius XM, weekdays 9 to 11. You can find him on social, Twitter, TikTok, at Adam Ronis. Adam, what did you think of this? Go a little bit off topic a little bit, but the news this morning, the NBA stuff with Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, Damon Jones. What was your initial takeaway of that?
Not surprised by it. I think we figured at some point something like this would happen. I know it's difficult for people to believe, since these guys are making so much money, that Terry Rozier would do something like that. But, you know, I do think the legalized sports gambling is a big reason, though, why it was caught, because it's being flagged. So obviously the integrity of the game is the most important thing, and we all like to gamble, or most of us. Obviously, I know I do, but yeah, it just sucks that you have to deal with this, because if you had some Terry Rozier overs during that time, you probably feel like you were robbed at this point. So yeah, it's just unfortunate that we have to deal with this, but I think, you know, it's inevitable, and you can't 100% expect all of these athletes to be clean.
Yeah, I think it goes with the territory, but I agree with your other stance too, that the transparency of it is in the is the overall good of it. Adam, big week in the NFL when it comes to these buys. How are you handling all this? You got some heavy hitters too, that Lions offense, the Rams offense, maybe a McBride because Arizona's on a buy, Seattle. How are you handling and navigating a very critical bye week with some heavy hitters?
Yeah, unfortunately, you're going to be very uncomfortable with your lineup this week in a lot of instances, because not only do you have the six teams on bye, we still are dealing with injuries. It wasn't as bad last week, and then on Monday, you had Mike Evans going down, Nico Collins going down, and then, of course, some players during the last day or two that popped up on the injury report that we were unaware of, like an A.J. Brown dealing with a hamstring injury who didn't practice for the second straight day, and now you have to hope that he does put in something tomorrow. And there's also the Eagles have a bye next week. So if this is anything that could linger, the Eagles could say, you know what, we're 5-2, we're playing the Giants. Yes, we lost to them a couple weeks ago, but should bounce back here at home. Let's give Brown a rest. That would obviously make things tougher. So everyone is dealing with it. You have to hope maybe your opponent is in a worse spot than you, and you're just going to have to put in some players, especially in the deeper formats, that you're not used to doing. I know I am flexing a tight end this week in a couple leagues, which is something you usually don't do. But actually, the tight end position has actually gotten a little bit better over the last couple weeks. Injuries have played a factor in that, and some players stepping up. So, yeah, it's a challenging week. It's the worst bye week of the season. Six teams on bye. Next week is four. This is the only week, though, where there are six on bye. So, yeah, if you look at your lineup and you hate it, don't worry. We all do.
I'm curious. You mentioned Nico. You know, Nico Collins getting hurt this week, but we saw Jalen Knoll, the rookie, have a big game this last week. Like, are you taking a flyer on someone like him with all these bye weeks? Or like, where are you looking at the waiver wire, or where did you look? Or guys, you're still trying to find to fill spots in your roster at this point.
Yeah, look, if Nico Collins is out, Christian Kirk is out. Yes, that offense has been abysmal. But someone's got to catch some passes. We know Dalton Schultz is the guy who stepped up. But, yeah, I would be looking at a guy like Knoll for sure. I did pick him up in a couple leagues. You know, he looked good last week. You got Jaden Higgins there as well. So, yeah, I mean, again, you're going to have to dig a little bit deeper this week. But thing, though, is one of the guys, he's probably widely available in a lot of leagues because he was available in a couple of my leagues with 20 roster spots. And it's just because he didn't play a big role early in the year. Even a guy like Higgins, he was drafted in most of my leagues. He might have been cut. I was able to pick him up in a league last week. So, yeah, I think you are going to be looking at those guys this week.
Adam Rohn is joining us here on Jeremy and Joe. Adam, is it time to go ahead and drop Travion Henderson just 2 carries last week? Is there any reason to hold out hope that maybe his workload increases, or is it time to cut bait and move on?
Well, it really depends on your format. I can't give you any positive reasons except that he's a running back they drafted early, and we have seen in the past running back do nothing for the first 8 to 10 weeks and finish the season strong. But it has been very discouraging what we have seen, because you figured once Antonio Gibson went down with that season-ending injury, okay, here we go with Henderson. And it's gone the opposite direction. He played 14% of the snaps last week, and you figured, okay, they have a big lead. They're going to rest Ramondre Stevenson. Here we go. We're going to see Henderson in the fourth quarter piling up the garbage stats. That's exactly what we want to see, and it did not happen. They went with Terrell Jennings with the practice squad instead. He had 5 carries in that game. So, yeah, look, there's nothing encouraging. And the worst part is that when Henderson has been given the opportunity, he hasn't shown anything. There's been no explosive runs, nothing to what we saw in the preseason. So I'll say, like, in very deep leagues, probably not. But if you're in a league with, like, 5 bench spots and you have bye week issues this week, then, I really can't give you anything encouraging to say that it's going to turn around. It will happen on a week when no one starts him, right? When everyone gives up on him, that'll be the week that Henderson goes out there and has a touchdown and piles up some positive yardage. But from what we've seen, it's not happening. And my guess is he is probably not faring well in practice. And there's probably some signs there that the coaches don't like, because this is very perplexing to spend that early of a draft pick on a running back and to barely get him involved. And it's not like Ramondre Stevenson. Stevenson had a good game last week, but Stevenson's not really been very efficient this year, and he's fumbled and lost 3. So the door has been open, and Henderson has not been able to go through it.
Yeah, Gibson injury too. It's been wild because he was drafted very, very high. We were talking last week about the whole Carolina running back situation, Hubbard, Dowdle. After watching a game of both, what's your stance on it now?
I think Carolina's making a huge mistake here. It should be Rico Dowdle. I mean, he's been better every time we've seen him on the field, and even last week, he was better than Hubbard. And they started Hubbard. They alternated drives. I mean, you want to win football games. Forget about the contract that you gave Hubbard. Dowdle is clearly the better running back right now, so he should be getting more touches. This is a week, though, against Buffalo. Buffalo has actually not been good against the run, and Andy Dalton is expected to start. Bryce Young not officially ruled out, but he didn't practice again. So, I mean, Carolina's probably going to be a team that runs the ball a lot anyway, so there's probably room for both, but it definitely hurts Dowdle's ceiling if they're going to alternate drives. But we have seen Buffalo get run on. The last time they allowed over 200 yards rushing to, I know, Bijan Robinson, way better than any of those guys, and Tyler Allgeier. But they've given up some decent games on the ground this year to good running backs. So they've allowed the 6th most fantasy points per game to the running back position. So I think actually both can be started this week. But, again, it should be Dowdle. He's got more explosiveness right now.
And it's a quick turnaround to tonight, but similar situation. Looks like it may unfold here in Minnesota. Aaron Jones looks to be back tonight for the Vikings. Jordan Mason was good early in the season. How do you think the Vikings room plays out, and how does it affect your matchups going forward if you have either of those running backs?
Yeah, I mean, you have to push Jordan Mason down a little bit. Now, the report was that they expected him to have a decent workload tonight for Aaron Jones. I think he's more involved in the passing game, would be my guess. It's a tough decision what to do, whether to start him tonight. I think it depends who you have. Obviously, people are always reluctant to start a player their first game back coming off an injury. But I think Jones excels in the passing game. And they did say going into the year is going to be 1A, 1B. So if you drafted Jordan Mason, you knew that you weren't going to get 20 touches a week. I do think he'll get most of the goal line carries. And with Jordan Mason, as we've seen in recent weeks, you really need him to score a touchdown to come through. So I think Mason's the better start tonight. But Aaron Jones, if you have a lot of running back issues, hopefully you don't. I know there's 6 teams on bye, but you've been getting through the last few weeks at Aaron Jones. So maybe you don't need to play him, but I would expect his role to be mostly in the passing game tonight and maybe get 5 to 8 carries.
Adam, Xavier Leggett broke out of nowhere this last week when Andy Dalton came in at quarterback. He really hadn't done anything through the early part of his career, but what is your thought on the Panthers' pass catchers going forward between him and obviously their first-round pick this last year, Tet McMillan?
Yeah, I still prefer Tet McMillan by a lot. It was one game against the Jets. Leggett has really been very inefficient and hasn't really shown much through his career. And Jalen Coker came back too. He was a little limited, but it's Tet McMillan. I actually think Andy Dalton coming in will be good for Tet McMillan. We know he scored his first touchdown a couple weeks ago against the Cowboys, and everyone figured that would happen where he had 2 touchdowns. And we've seen the targets go down the last week, just 10 targets over the last 2 games. But he had at least 8 targets in the first 5 games. But Dalton's going to be more willing to throw downfield, get rid of the ball a little bit quicker. So I actually think Dalton being in there will help McMillan. So, yeah, I'm not buying Xavier Leggett just yet.
Adam Ronis, you can follow him on socials, Twitter, TikTok, at Adam Ronis. And I'm looking at this deal that you posted for the people, Adam. You're giving it away for free.
I know. You want to help people out and reward them. So, yeah, on WAP.com/Adam-Ronis, you could get the link on my Twitter or X at Adam Ronis. But, yeah, the NBA season started. So, given 75% off with promo code NBA75. NBA season off to a good start, 4-1. The only loss was due to injury. I had Kevin Porter Jr. over 19.5 points plus assists last night. He had 10 points and 2 assists in 9 minutes and left the game with an ankle injury. So I'm pretty sure that would have cashed. So that's the only loss so far. And NFL as well. We got to play for tonight's game. Only 2 NBA games tonight. We got to play there. And then a huge schedule tomorrow. So pretty excited the NBA is back. I love betting on the NBA. It's so much fun.
I hope that ankle injury was legit, though, Adam.
Yeah, I know. Now you start to question that. But some of these sports books now have like an injury refund. So I actually, the book I used, I actually got the money back in bonus bets, which is a little dicey. You can debate that. I know everyone, complains with injuries, but you open up a door on that. And sometimes you have to just say, hey, I lost the bet. You could also take the under, right? You could have taken the under and won on that. But that's the only thing. You are going to question things. And it's unfortunate. We hate to see it.
Adam, great stuff as always. Good luck with your bets.
Thanks, man. Good luck to you guys this weekend as well.
Adam Ronis, TikTok, Twitter, X, whatever we're calling that thing, at Adam Ronis, but he's usually on fire. You want to tell Adam. There's no doubt about that. All right, 713-780-3776. What do you think of the Houston Texans offseason with the luxury of a little bit of hindsight here? 713-780-3776. Jeremy, Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
As Brandon mentioned, Adam Ronis has been on fire with his picks. I'm on fire with this prediction, or this recommendation, that is, to eat a Burger Chan. If you're eating a Burger Chan, just like Adam Ronis in his picks, you're winning. And if Adam ever wants to come and make a little road trip to Houston, I know exactly where to take him. I'm taking him to the Burger Chan because football season's here, and there's no better way to enjoy watching a game than with a tasty burger and fries or tots from our friends at Burger Chan. What are you watching this weekend? Texans taking on the 49ers this Sunday. Maybe one of the great games from Saturday's college football slate, like OU taking on Ole Miss, or the night game at Death Valley between LSU and Texas A&M. Regardless, either way, I promise you the best way to enhance the football watching experience is by picking up some burgers and fries from Burger Chan. And their hours are extended. Now open for dinner from until 9 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday, so maybe even get Burger Chan for lunch and dinner on Saturday. I don't know. Burger for lunch, chicken sandwich for dinner. Sounds good to me, but, you do you. Either way, whatever you get, I guarantee it'll be delicious, because in 2023 and 2024, Burger Chan was ranked by Yelp as one of the best 100 restaurants in the entire country. Not just best burger places, not just best places in Houston, but one of the best restaurants in the whole damn country. It is right here in our backyard. Hell, it's downstairs from where I'm sitting right now. Make sure you stop by on Mondays in particular to get yours, because they're partnering with us this football season to celebrate big wins on Victory Monday. Any Monday after the Texans win, let's cross our fingers for the 49ers game, stop by Burger Chan to claim your free side with the purchase of any entree. Yeah, Burger Chan's doing that for you. All you got to do is mention my name, Brian, mention ESPN 97.5, or just say Go Texans, and you'll get a free side with your entree. I usually go curly fries, but you can get spicy tots, or regular fries as well. Burger Chan, best burgers in the city. Find them at 5353 West Alabama and see their full menu at BurgerChanHTX.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-ESPN. Hindsight 2020, Joe. Bless you. What do you think of the Texans offseason?
Very bad.
713-780-3776. What's been your least favorite thing?
My least favorite thing?
Least favorite thing of the offseason.
Oh, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Nick Caley getting hired.
Ooh. Okay.
Because the other moves.
That was out. Okay.
Like Cam Robinson. Eh, like not a great move.
It's terrible in hindsight,
it's,
though.
It's terrible. I mean, they're all bad. Christian Kirk's bad. But I'd say just the hiring of Nick Caley is the worst one.
See, I don't think the Kirk one is that bad whenever you look at it in a vacuum. But whenever you see, like, the domino effect of it, it's like, well, you could have had somebody else. You know, because it didn't cost you much and you're not spending much on him in terms of, like, his cap hit. But you could have had somebody else. It would have been way, you know, better because he hasn't been very good. A, he's been hurt. B, when he's played, he's been very mediocre. And then also you're not playing the other rookies really that much anyways. Braxton Berrios got more snaps than Noel did the other day in their previous game. So ESPN, they had the whole hindsight 2020, the benefit of, you know, getting to react now versus in the offseason. Bill Barnwell did this. They ranked every team in the NFL based on their offseason, and they had different tiers. Like the NFL's best offseason went to the Colts, which Daniel Jones is playing at a high level. Now they only give him a 1-year deal though, so they're gonna have to pony up when it comes to that. But you got Tyler Warren, second tight end drafted, who's been the best tight end in that draft, maybe one of the best in the entire league, actually. The hiring of their defensive coordinator, they have way ahead of expectations is another one of their tiers. They have slightly above expectations is another tier on who had the best offseason in the NFL. They have exactly average, which they have the Dallas Cowboys there. They have slightly below expectations. And then they have, scroll all the way down, way below expectations. And then their final tier, they have worst offseason in the NFL. Where would you, based on those tiers, have the Houston Texans?
Probably the second to last one.
Okay, so you would put them in the, what was that one again, way below expectations?
Yeah.
So Bill Barnwell has the Houston Texans as the worst offseason in the entire NFL.
Yikes.
And it's really hard to argue. I'm not going to sit here and be like, you know, pound my chest and say, I told you I was a terrible offseason. I was saying it in real time because I wasn't. I was actually defending some of what Caserio was doing. And maybe that was very, very foolish of me. I think of Gary whenever we have these Nick Caserio conversations. But it's hard to argue that it's not the worst offseason in the NFL. They mentioned a highlight, drafting Woody Marks, which, okay, you drafted Woody Marks, but you also traded a future third-round pick to draft him in the fourth. Mm-hmm. And what was a pretty heavy running back draft? And there are other rookie running backs who were drafted after Woody Marks that are actually still performing at a pretty high level.
Yeah, and performing better consistently.
Yeah, and I like Woody. Like, it's not a knock on Woody.
I do too.
But if that is your number one highlight, that's not really a great offseason. And then the other highlight was trading for Ed Ingram, who Ed Ingram has been good. You didn't trade a whole lot for him, and he's not making a ton of money. Now, he's on a one-year contract, which how long will he be at Houston Texans? The disappointments, and one of these players I totally forgot about.
I don't know who this person is.
Totally forgot about. I mean, I had to like Wikipedia him, and I remembered that way. But disappointments, much of their rebuilt offensive line. Okay, yeah. I mean, I think that Ursary is going to be a good tackle in the NFL, but he's currently not a good tackle in the NFL. It's also a tough position to put him in. Hey, we have the worst offensive line in the NFL. You're a second-round tackle. Why don't you just go be our franchise left tackle and protect our franchise quarterback? It's a very tall ask and probably an unfair ask. You know the old saying about having two quarterbacks? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. People always get that confused.
Is that really what it is?
Yeah, because you have two, you don't have one.
Oh, that makes way more sense.
If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one because you have two.
Yeah. I always thought it was none.
Yeah, that's one of one of the lines that's always messed up. So it's like, I could care less.
Yeah.
Well, if you could care less, you could literally care less.
Yeah.
Couldn't care less.
I knew that one.
Couldn't care less. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Dot, 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 because you have two. You can say the same thing about the left guard. If you have two left guards, you don't have one. And, like, I don't get bent out of shape too much at the left guard thing. If you are rotating left guards, though, you don't have a good one. You have two below-average ones that, A, you're playing the hot hand. B, you're trying to create competition. C, you're trying to maximize two below-average left guards by giving them every other series off. That way they're more rested. Mm-hmm. It's like it's not a good position. Neither guy is really the answer there. Center, meh. Probably below average. Ingram's been fine. Titus has been fine, but still overwhelmingly disappointing offensive line who, when they play good defenses, get exposed. Nick Kaley, hiring Nick Kaley, listed as one of their disappointments. The one that you mentioned with Cam Robinson, which the Cam Robinson one, I feel like you can defend a little bit, because what are you going to do? Go into the draft without a left tackle? I feel like you had to make that signing. It just didn't work out that you drafted a tackle and not a guard, and then you basically had to offload Cam Robinson for nothing. Trading for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which that's kind of a wash. Like, whatever. You traded a late-round pick swap in Kenyon Green for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who both have been released. Whatever.
Well, I think the point in the article, though, where he points out they restructured his deal and left the Texans on the hook for $8.3 million.
That's a way bigger crime.
Yeah, that's the bigger crime of the Gardner-Johnson trade.
That one is that's 100% way bigger of a crime than trading for C.J. Gardner. Who cares that you traded Kenyon Green for C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Especially because you just got burned with this with Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you made the same mistake two off-seasons in a row.
Same contract negotiation mistake. Yeah. Contract mistake, yes. And then trading for Christian Kirk, which, to me, that's more about opportunity cost. Kirk didn't cost you much. He's not taking much against the cap, but it cost you the opportunity of bringing in another wide receiver somewhere else. But the one that's like, oh, yeah, I forgot who this guy was, Nick Neiman.
I don't know who
Nick
he is.
Nick Neiman got a two-year, $6 million contract.
Who's that guy?
He gave him $4 million guaranteed and then cut him in August. He gave him $4 million guaranteed and cut him in August. And look, $4 million NFL, like it's not much, but it's also not nothing. Like, that could be your operating cost for the season, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the total is $21.5 million. And when you include that one in offseason moves that are no longer on this roster.
So a lot of people see this and they want to fire Caserio.
I mean,
is that accurate?
Yeah, people are saying that.
I don't want to use this exact offseason as the reason why you would move on from Nick Caserio. I think there's bigger things at play here, just with the offensive line in general, of why you would move on from Nick Caserio. This doesn't help any of his argument, though, of why you should have a job.
See, my thing with firing people, I don't like firing it just for the sentiment. I don't like to fire people just for the symbol of firing people. If I'm going to fire somebody, I want to be better at the position. And look, I look at a lot of these executive positions and coaching positions the same way I look at player positions. If I can upgrade at left guard, then I'm going to go upgrade at left guard. Mm-hmm. If I can upgrade at offensive coordinator, I want to upgrade at offensive coordinator. If I think I can get better at the general manager position of my organization, I want to go out and get better as the general manager position for my organization. But I don't like firing people to fire people. And look, I don't think that Bobby Slowick can be thrown into this bucket. Like, I fundamentally believe that they fired Bobby Slowick thinking they were going to do better than Bobby Slowick. But where I'm at on the firing of Caserio is you better be 100% sure that you can find a better general manager before you fire Nick Caserio. I don't want to fire Nick Caserio if you go 5-12 as some scapegoat thing. We have to act, so this is going to be our action. And then you go get a general manager who's worse, because that did happen with the offensive coordinator spot. You fire Bobby Slowick because C.J. Stroud went backwards, the offense went backwards, the offensive line was bad, and then you find a worse offensive coordinator. You leveled down at that position. It turned into a symbolic firing than an actual improvement. You got worse. So that's where I'm at. Like, if you're going to fire Caserio, I'm not going to stand in your way. I'm not going to flip out. I'm not going to, you know, fight that battle. I'm not going to, you know, that's not the Towels Hill that I'm going to pick. But you better get better than Caserio if you're going
to
do it.
Yeah, because, like, and are you trying to just upgrade your GM to improve your offensive line evaluation? Like, that seems to me ultimately like where it would come down to is, like, how do you evaluate the offensive line? I've seen a lot of people going at Caserio recently for his mid to late round picks and them not really being impactful. I think that's fair, but it doesn't have to be the reason why you move on. I just look at the offensive line and say he has failed this team to put together a competent offensive line. And he's had time and time and time again to do it, and he hasn't been able to get it right. He's gotten one or two pieces right at a time, but he hasn't been able to get it right collectively.
No.
And I think, you know, I haven't looked back to like the Davis Mills numbers of how many times he was getting sacked, but I can't imagine it was pretty when he was back there. Like, it wasn't, we weren't celebrating the offensive line saying, like, see if Davis Mills could just complete a pass behind this great offensive line, the Texans could win some games. No. Like, it hasn't really ever been good since Caserio got here.
Yeah, Mills was putting his neck on the line behind that bad offensive line. Mm-hmm. It was ugly.
It's a lot to put
ugly
up
back then.
Yeah.
Fixing the offensive line overnight is not going to be easy, whoever is the general manager, though. Like, you almost have to commit, okay, we're going to use our first-round pick, which who knows where that's going to land. Mm-hmm. We're using that pick on an offensive lineman. We're going to use our second-round pick on an offensive lineman. We're going to use our third-round pick on an offensive lineman. I think you almost have to commit to that. And then how many starters do you have that will be coming back next year? Like, you think Tay Ursary should be? What do you do with Titus's contract? Is that something that, you know, you want to continue that relationship and that partnership? Is he back? Ed Ingram's on a one-year contract. I think you can upgrade at center. I think you can upgrade at left guard. Like, it almost might have to be tackle. Top 10 pick, maybe. He's your right tackle. You try to hammer the second-round pick and nail the second-round pick, and that's one of your starting interior offensive linemen. But even then is risky because, look, drafting offensive linemen is not an exact science, and it seems to be even more difficult for Nick Caserio.
Yeah, and so if you go through, okay, so 2021, Davis Mills was sacked 31 times, also sacked 31 times in 2022. C.J. Stroud was sacked 38 times in 23, 52 times in 2024, and he's been sacked 15 times this year.
Yikes.
That's how long Nick Caserio's been the GM. Like, so that's why I feel like comparing last year to this year is it's not critical enough of Nick Caserio and what he's done with the offensive line. It goes back to the very beginning. So that to me is where you can evaluate. Like, you're right, it's not going to be a fix overnight. He's had a lot more than overnight to fix this thing, Jeremy. Like, he has had plenty of time to fix the offensive line. He hasn't done it yet. So that to me is why you ultimately fire him if that's the decision you decide to make. Not one bad offseason.
You're defending Caserio. You want him sacked. Where are you with him? Junkies want to discuss. 713-780-3776. Keith, Phillip, text line. Get to you on the other side. It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.